Once forged in the fires of PR and journalism, Curtis Dewar and Corey Westbrook united to create C-Squared. Now, on our podcast, we interview musicians and other industry professionals to give you an inside look on how to take your music to the next level.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the C-Squared Podcast. This is your host, Curtis, and I'm here with my co-host, Aaliyah, and our sometimes co-host, Lindsay, who is also doubling as a guest today, because we have decided to do a special podcast with her to talk about her recent collaborations that she's done and various different things like that. So to start us off, hello, Lindsay, and thank you for joining us.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on this crazy Tuesday.
Is it Tuesday? I was thinking it was Monday today.
Same. Fuck. Yeah, I know, same. Right, okay. In that same spiral, dude. I hear you.
Totally got thrown off when you said that. Like, wait, it's Monday. No, it's not Monday. Okay, good.
Feels like
okay.
Monday.
So to start us off, so you've done like a bazillion collaborations in the last couple years. So can you kind of, first of all, can you kind of say some of the people you've collaborated with so people get kind of an idea of what we're talking about here?
Sure. Can I also say like why I decided to go crazy down that rabbit hole of collaboration?
Yeah. That's so, what we were talking about. Yeah. But you can interject.
Because I don't feel like being like, oh, listen, I'm Lindsay Schoolcraft and I've worked with all these people. I don't really want to start there. It's kind of pretentious. No, I've always enjoyed writing with other people, because as a songwriter, I found if when I'm doing it by myself, I grow stagnant, or I kind of don't have someone there to tell me like, this isn't that good, or this can be improved upon, or here's a different idea in different direction. And I find with having a second opinion, I've grown. So that's where it started. Like before I went solo, I was in bands, and that's where a lot of the collaborative work came into play. And it was really cool. Like, you know, I found I was stronger when someone would present a piece of music and I had to do vocals and lyrics, but then, you know, people, vice versa, I had vocals and lyrics and they needed to build music around it. So that's where the whole journey started, really. And then, of course, I've gone on to work with some major bands and some major artists. So I've been doing everything from duets to composing for other people, guest features, you name it, I've probably done it. You know, even very genre fluid, I've worked with some other genres too, which has been really fun.
So now to clarify here for people that are listening, so you've done both collaborations for your solo work for like your own material, and you've also been hired out to do other material for people. So these are two different kettles of fish, and I'm just trying to think how I want to present it here. So why don't we start with you as the solo artist, inviting people to collaborate with you? How does that kind of come about, and how do you kind of figure out who it's going to be or who you want to?
As a solo artist, you just have to accept like you can't do everything yourself, you know, and those who do, like they burn out, or the work is like, I don't mean to sound rude when I say this, but like it can be mediocre, you know, unless you're Devin Townsend, like for some reason that guy is untouchable. But so as a solo artist, I've always known where I wanted to go and built my team around that. And if I'm not strong in an area, I will hire someone in or bring them in as a collaborator. So for my Martyr, for my album Martyr, can't talk today, Dreadful Tuesday. For my album Martyr, I brought on Rocky Gray, who's like the original drummer of Evanescence, because I can't write or play guitar or bass or drums to save my life, but that's his strongest point. And it was great because the things that we were both at, which was like orchestration, we came together and figured it out until we passed it on to someone else who made it sound pro. So it just made sense. You know, it's, you have to make these decisions in the moment of like, okay, here's my vision for my music. What do I know I got, and what do I want to add, and who do I know that I want to work with that I can bring on to make this composition happen, essentially?
So, okay. So like kind of give kind of like, but like, can you go into that a little bit more in depth? Because I mean, like you had Zen, who you knew on Martyr. Rock. I mean, I know the story about that most, I don't know if everybody knows it, but I know you've said it on past podcasts, you know, how do you kind of like go, this is the person I want to reach out to for this specific part?
Sometimes I go into it a little dumbly and blindly because I'm just so enamored by the person and their talent. And, you know, we've been on a talking basis. So, you know, anyone loves to hear from you if you have work for them and it's like, oh, let's create music together. This is a higher job. Like, people are not upset about hearing from you for that reason. So a lot of the times I have known who I've wanted to work with. And plus, like, over the years building my network and traveling the world, I've met so many musicians. When it comes down to, okay, I'm working on this song now and I need viola and violin, of course I'm going to call my buddy Dagda from Spain, who's in the band Celtiberian, because I know he's going to knock it out of the park. So that's just one example, but I usually know who I want to work with, but sometimes that can backfire. This is the bitter and jaded side of the industry. It's like, oh, I really want to work with this person. And then the time comes and you're not gelling. You don't share the same business morals and you're on two different planets and it doesn't work out. But I commend people for trying versus not trying at all. And I think the more people you work with, like, I love meeting new people and working with new people because you grow. Everyone has something to teach you. Like, everyone knows something that you don't know. And through that shared experience, they can just open up your mind as a writer and as a person. And, you know, you grow as a person because of that. And I've always found that to be really cool.
This is true. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now let's say, do you have anything you want to ask about that end before I get into the next part?
I do, actually. I think to give us some perspective, how long have you been involved with the industry to get to know who to reach out to? Like, yeah, you know all these people, but how did you come to that point where you know these people who do specialize in all of these different instruments?
Right, right. I mean, I've been doing it for 21 years. And back then, so when I started, that would have been, oh my gosh, I have to do math. Would that have been 2001? So back then, all I really knew was high school and the people I knew there. And I mean, finding the right people in high school was like pulling teeth. But that's where my first experience started. But now with the internet, people can use their social media as a resume. So you can see what they've accomplished, what they're working on, what they sound like, what their abilities are, what they can add to the music. So, you know, I always, like I said, I'm always keen to meet new people in our industry who are musicians, especially those who have unique talents, like they play a unique instrument or they understand a unique point with production and making electronics or soundtracks, whatever. Like, you know, everyone brings something to the table and I just keep track. And then it's like, okay, I'm writing this song right now and I really want this big atmospheric electronic music on it. Well, I'm going to contact this person. And we're going to try to work out a rate and see if they're even interested or if they have the time, you know. And another thing I will do, which a lot of people don't do for me, is I'll contact them with like a long runway for the deadline, because some people contact me and they're like, oh, you know, I need it in 1 week or I need it in 3 weeks. And I'm like, no, like that's not how we work over here, you know, unless like, you know, it's a huge opportunity and, you know, like it's something that is going to expand my resume. Be like, all right, fine. I'll drop, you know, paid work, or I'll lose sleep this week to hustle for you and make this happen, because like, holy crap, it's you. But you know, when it comes to, and I'm not going to be like, oh, there's a tiered system and a hierarchy, but anyone who's listening to this, who's been doing it, gets what I'm talking about.
Yeah, so for people who are reaching out to established artists who might want to collaborate with someone like you, what is a good amount of time? Should they have a deadline at all?
Yeah, well, and there are deadlines. I mean, I think musicians need deadlines to get things done, or else they just never get them done. It's like, mm-hmm. a lot of us fall victim to talking about doing things, but then never actually doing it. And I'm the same. Like, if I don't have deadlines, I will push stuff off for years. And I'm like, wow, I suck. But there's also the consideration that with these, if you're working for a bigger band, they're on a label with an agent and a manager, and everything has to be done within a certain time frame, because then you got to go into, once the recording process is done, you have to go into the release process. And it's like, it's this, you know, one thing after another system that you have to follow. So, you know, I actually do have some open-ended collaborations right now where we've set no deadlines on them and they are just getting drawn out.
Yeah. So it's not no deadline. It's not 1 month. So what is that happy medium that you like to have?
Like 2 months, you know, like, hey, I need this in 2 months, you know, kind of thing. That's usually, that's a respectable amount of time. And usually people will let you know when they're booked up and if you can move it to later in the year or something. So it's just all, it all comes down to communication. And, you know, in these scenarios, being okay with asking a million questions.
So now let's say when you do reach out to someone to collaborate with them, how do you go about offering them a rate without going too high or going too low? Because you don't want to over, but you don't want to under.
So Yeah. In the beginning, if this is some kind of like field of work that you want to get into, you have to kind of just like keep track of your hours and then think about how much you did get paid if you took like your first few given pays.
Like, let's say you're reaching out to someone, for example, or someone's reaching out to you, how can they approach it without being too high? Like if you're trying to collaborate with someone.
You have to talk. It comes with like, I know my rates based on my time and energy and what I'm good at and what I'm not good at. Yeah. I know like my rates and people ask for them and I'm like, here they are. You know what I mean? So but that's the thing. It's just kind of like, you have to kind of know your worth and figure it out through that time and taking past pay and be like, actually I'm worth this much per hour for these things. So this is how much I'm going to charge because I'm guessing it's going to take me this long to complete it.
Okay. So like if you were going after, like, let's say you were like, okay, so I got the perfect part for, I don't know, I'm trying to think of someone that's fairly well known. Let's say it's like a B-level type person. I'm trying to think of someone off the top of my head and obviously I'm blanking, but how would you suggest someone would go approach that person?
Are you talking a bigger artist?
Yeah. So let's say it's like, I don't know, not Devin Townsend level, but maybe below that type of thing.
No, she's probably bigger.
Okay. No, well, she's big.
Yeah, she's big. So someone below that.
Yeah. Like how would a newer artist do it? So let's say like Shield of Wings wanted to get a bigger artist on, like how would they go approach doing it without budget or under budget and
they just have to tell you what their price is. You need to let them know how much you need them to do and then they go from there. Like the thing is like it's all really based on time, so you just let them know, oh, we only need 4 lines for you to sing, and then they can just tell you from there. I mean, one thing you can do, and I did it in the past when I was like, before I joined Cradle Filth and I was a small name, I would reach out to bigger artists and be like, hey, if you ever need harp or you need piano or you need backing vocals, like call me. But usually bigger bands know what they want and they already have their team in place. But I tried, you know what I mean? But yeah, if you do want like a bigger name on your music, it's really, you know, the ball's in their court.
Yeah, you have to just basically, I guess you probably have to go and kind of say what your budget is. Does that fit or if that's too high without being insulting or something like that?
I would say, I mean, it sounds more like you don't tell them what your budget is. You tell them the scope of the project. They tell you what they charge and then you don't, you know, if it's not within your budget, I don't know if you should haggle with them or not, but if it's not within your budget, you probably should just not do it.
Yeah. Like, for example, I won't name names, but I've been in touch with someone recently who has like a semi, I don't want to like give away too much of the genre, but like a semi somewhat black metal band. And they're, you know, like there's names in it that are known, but they're starting out. And there's been a pitch of, hey, would you like come like work on a song with us? And I like the music and I like the people who are like on their team. So I said, I will super mates rates that because I actually haven't done a lot of black metal since I've left Cradle of Filth. So I think it would be like, you know, I think it would be beneficial for both parties, but at the same time, I do this full time. So I should at least get paid for my time. So, you know, like it's, that's the thing. How do I put this? It leads into something that we need to understand about this industry. One time I was in a job without a contract and all of a sudden they just changed my daily rate on me and there was nothing I could do about it because I didn't have a contract. And I went and spoke with someone at a college, you know, he's since retired, but he's like, that's the thing you have to understand about this industry. Every deal you negotiate is unique and different. You gauged it based on, you know, you can charge less because these people are wonderful to work with and you want to do it, or you can charge more because like they're, he called them like your fuck off rates because they're a pain in the arse. He's like, there's no really set rate. You just gauge it based on are the people good to work with or not, you know, at the end of the day. And I was getting undercut because the project I was working for didn't know how to manage their money. So like, you know, everyone in the project was getting undercut and it wasn't fair because we felt we were giving top, you know, top performance, top quality music, but you know, needless to say, you know, they're going to continue to lose high quality people for doing that. But it comes down to managing your money well. But yeah, that's the thing about the industry. Like you just really, I've never charged the same rate for my work based on, you know, these things. Now, if there was a time where I said, hey, like, this is my rate. And they're like, we only have this much in the budget and undercuts me by like $200 or $300 or something like that. Like just a little bit. And I'll be like, oh, I still want to do it. I'll do it for that price. You know, and they yeah. could totally be lying. They could be just like bartering and lowballing me, yeah. but whatever. I get it. We all got to do what we got to do.
Yeah. Okay. So Aaliyah, do you want to follow that up before I change the subject slightly? Or
no? I want to move into the idea that has been kind of put out there by many music gurus that you should be doing collaborations as a networking tool. What do you think about that? And you know, could you just share your thoughts on how that's true, how it's not true in that situation?
I think networking comes down to like, are you a decent human being who can communicate with others? Because collaborations are a marketing tool. I wouldn't say they're so much a networking tool. Networking is something that you do on your own time, whether it's in person or online. But yeah, the reason for collaborations, I mean, I love the experience of it. I love writing with others. I love seeing where the song starts and where it ends up. You know, and I think it's more of, it's two things. It's a marketing tool as you're raising the status of one of the people involved because they're not as well known as this one and this one's doing them a favor, or it's equal exchange. It's cross-contamination of markets because you're both on the same level. But like, you know, I've always, in a way, I've never told the Cancer Bats this, but in a way I felt that's what it was with the Cancer Bats. I feel like we're both equally well-known in our niche genres. And when we came together, it was just that cross-contamination of markets because I'm more from the symphonic gothic black metal world and they're more from like the hardcore punk whatever the heck Cancer Bats are. So when it came together it was like whoa. So that like in those cases it's like it's still heavy in alternative music, you're just kind of crossing genres, where I feel like that cross genre collaboration should be happening when it's at that level. But yeah, usually if it's gonna it's more of a marketing thing, but also that's what it is on the business end. But I really truly believe that, like if you look like at, you know, that song that Queen and Bowie did together, I think, or was it Freddie Mercury and Bowie? But that was kind of like a, hey, we're two very different singers, but we're great songwriters. And they wrote this iconic song. It was Under Pressure, right? I think it was with Queen. Sorry, again, foggy today. But that's what I believe, like if there's two people who come together at this force because they so badly want to make music together, that's the ultimate goal. Cause like, yeah, we can talk business for days, but it's like, yeah, you can collaborate, but if no one remembered the song at the end of the day, what was the point of it? It should be about making great music and these two creative forces wanting to come together and see something come of it.
I kind of have a follow-up to that, but kind of not.
Okay.
So just to follow up on what Aaliyah was asking, what you were saying about it being a marketing tool. I know that there's one person that pushes that so that way, not marketing tool, collaborate or networking tool rather. I know one person who pushes that as a way to meet people. So really? Do you think that's a bad idea or a good idea? So like if someone wanted to get on Lindsay Schoolcraft's radar, offering them a gig to collaborate with them, for example.
So are you saying with raising the profile it would raise their network? Is that what you guys were referring to?
Yeah, I'll tell you about this after we get off the call.
Okay. Because I mean, you could do it that way, but I think honestly with networking, it just needs to happen organically. Same with collaborations. Because I've actually dropped out of collaborations that weren't going good. And I wasn't like working with people or I wasn't big at the music. You know, like maybe you should hire someone else. I don't think I'm the person for this project. As a networking thing, I think... Yeah, it could work, but I'm one of those people, I'm like super gate off my stuff unless like, you know, I think you're a good person and like, I have this little pocket of good people who I keep in my corner. And if you're a good person, you can have them too. But it wouldn't be, it's weird to be like I'm going to like buy you on and use you as a collaboration. And now I'm immediately entitled to all your contacts. Like that's not how it works.
I'll go over it with you because
Have mercy.
I'm hearing that is kind of where I wanted to get to with the conversation.
Okay, good. We answered your question. That's good.
Aaliyah, did you have a follow-up on that before I switch a little bit?
No, you can go ahead.
Okay, so now so let's talk about people reaching out to you to collaborate. So obviously most of our listeners are not going to have people call them up and be like, yo, want you to be on my album because... Let's face it, you do have a name. You have been doing this for a number of years. You've been doing it professionally, I think, for 15 years, 10 years. I don't remember 21. The exact. Oh, 21 years. Sorry. 21 years.
Curtis doesn't listen.
Listen, but I'm
hearing the podcast.
It's okay.
I always think Lindsay's younger than she is. I'm sorry. That's part of my problem, too, at the same time. So,
yay. If anyone calls me 26 again, I'll be really happy.
I always think that you're like in your 20s. I do. So forgive me on that. But
sick. We'll keep it that way.
Cool. And I wasn't even attempting to. Wow, that's awesome. Okay, cool. Where was I going with this? But so most people aren't going to be getting the call saying like, yo, can you come on my album? But like, how does that kind of work? So someone gets in contact with you and like, what's the process at that point? How does Lindsay kind of qualify whether she's going to work with them in addition to money, obviously?
Well, do I like the people and do I like the music is what it always comes down to.
How do you know though? Okay. So let's say like you get a call from, I don't know, it's a black metal band. Let's say it's Gorgoroth. They just pop. You're probably not going to get a call from Gorgoroth. Let's say it's Gorgoroth.
Okay.
Why is this so funny? I don't know why.
It's such a random band. Sorry.
It just randomly popped in my head. Gorgoroth pops you up, calls you up.
Oh Lord. Okay.
So how does I assume you don't know anybody in Gorgoroth? So how would you qualify whether you wanted to work with them?
I'd be like, wow, like that's cool. You're an awesome band. You're established, and I'd just be like, how much do you need me to do? You know, that's usually where the conversation starts. How much is it, and when do you need it by? That's usually my first two questions, and then from there, I gauge if I can do it or not.
So obviously we're not talking about Gorgoroth, we're just talking about a sample, like how it works. So you've gauged whether you can do it or not. Now how do you figure out whether the personality gels or not before you take it on? Like what's kind of your...
I can usually tell, like, you know, it's usually you can tell by the email. Fair. You know, and then usually I do ask for like a phone call. Like when it came to Motionless and White, I've known Chris for a long time, so and I really love Motionless and White, so it was just like a no-brainer. I'm like, yes, you need it by Friday. Like they didn't, they gave me 3 weeks. You know, it was one of those things where I'm like, I know the people, but yeah, like, you know, I kind of like to gauge people and see if we gel, because if we don't, it's like all that time that I'm using trying to be on their song, I could write on it and record one of my own songs and have it out at the end of the month. And I think I'd rather be doing that and building my own catalog than, you know, trying to fit into someone else's. It just doesn't make sense.
Okay, that's fair. So now let's say the personality doesn't gel. Money's good, but personality doesn't gel. So
those are soul rotting gigs.
What do you do?
That's the thing. Like it comes to a point where like now no one dicks me around. I used to be flexible and be like, well, the gig sucks. They talk to me like I'm stupid. They talk shit about me behind my back. They don't respect me, but the money is really good, you know, but then there comes to a point where your mental health really starts to suffer. And then it starts affecting your physical health. And I will never put myself in that position ever again. But I was kind of like, okay, well, you know, this is a huge opportunity and it's going to help me expand in these other areas. You know, it's going to help me build my network and it's going to help me build my name and I'm going to meet all these wonderful people, you know, so it kind of stinks, but now it's like, let's just use an example. I'm, you know, halfway through doing an album with someone and I'm doing the choirs because I've actually been hired to just layer my voice to be like an ethereal fairy choir. Yep. So, you know, and I'm on song number 4 and this person, like the money is good, but this person is treating me like a sack of crap. Yep. I will walk away because I have too much integrity now. I protect my mental health at all costs because I've had burnout from being abused in this industry and I'll never put myself there again. You know, so to anyone's like, and a lot of people come to me about consulting calls, like I'm stuck in this awful situation. What do I do? And I said, well, you have two choices. You can stay and tough it out and then go call a therapist because you're going to need it by the end of it. Or you can just leave now because you don't deserve to be treated this way. You know, like life is too short to, you know, like, and it's sad because so many people in this industry to think that they have to build their names, which usually they do to start out with like a big opportunity, have to eat shit really hard. And I think after this pandemic, the industry is going to change, especially within metal, because there are a lot of good people in metal worth knowing and working with. But yeah, you don't have to put up with that, especially at the expense of your mental health. So I value my health over money. Cause I know, once you know how to make money, you know, you can make money other ways through your art. You don't have to just take like this one gig. And, you know, I've talked about it with people recently. It's funny that you guys bring this up. Cause they're like, what if like, you know, like, I don't know what I'm trying to think of a big name in the industry. Like what if like Cardi B calls you and wants you to sing a hook on your song, but she treats you like shit. She's offering you like $100,000 to like orchestrate and sing on her song, but she's just treating you like absolute crap. And I'm like, well, I could probably do it for 3 months, and then past 3 months, I don't think my mental health could take it anymore. I'd probably laugh at it the whole time when she's not there. Like, it's a horrible example. I don't know Cardi B in a
shop. Yeah, and I feel like it would be different if it was somebody that you knew and respected and you really wanted to care about you versus somebody that like Cardi B, yeah, you're like, I don't really care what she thinks of me. Like,
yeah, like you can hate this little Canadian chipmunk all you want. Like I'm going to do your song and that's it. But then after the, like, there's a certain time I know I can't hate, like, I can't deal with the mental and verbal psychological abuse anymore. Then it's like, okay, I have to walk away. And that's the thing, like, you know, if it was day on day, like day in, day out, this person was coming in and like screaming at me and throwing things. And, you know, like we're talking really dark, bad scenarios here. I would walk away. Like, you couldn't pay me enough to be treated like that. And all the best gigs I've ever had, for the most part, I was treated like gold and paid really well and really loved and appreciated and respected. And when you start having those gigs, you're like, I'm not going to eat shit for nobody.
Now, that's fine with someone where you're established. So would you recommend that though for someone who's starting out? Like if they got offered something good, like good money-wise, profile-wise, but they knew that they were going to be treated like shit. Do you think it's worth it or not worth it?
I tell people, do it until your mental health is starting to crack and then get out of there, because that's your resistance. That's your time frame. I mean, if you really want to do it and you're aware of these things beforehand and you have a strong circle around you to support you through it. Yeah. I mean, if it's, you know, but that's the thing. I feel like after you've done that for so long, once you've established your name and you can put that on your resume, you can leave and go do other stuff or join other bands or whatever it is you need to do.
Yeah, that's true. I was just kind of thinking the whole thought too, because I mean, like, what if you were offered something like, I don't know, like you got offered, Paul McCartney offers you to do something for him. And then mm-hmm. it's like, I don't think Paul McCartney's an asshole, but then the person, you find out that he's a complete asshole, terrible to work with. Is it worth it? I don't know.
How long can I do it for, you know?
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm a very stubborn, like, I want to complete this project and see it through. But if it gets to the point where, like, you don't want to get out of bed in the morning, that's when it's like, okay, we need to pull the plug on this, like, you know. But that's a very rare occasion. Like I said, that's a very, like, that's like maybe 20% of the time, you know, for people. The other 80% of the industry is pretty rad and everyone's having a good time. So
yeah, most people aren't going to be that terrible to you no matter who they are, as a general rule. Okay, so Aaliyah, did you have a follow-up before I continue?
How do you think that artists who are beginning to pick up some momentum, how can they start collaborating with people, like with other bands, for example? Like, you mentioned pitching yourself to established bands before, and you said you didn't really get too much out of that, or you implied that you didn't get too much out of that, but people have their established like contacts that they want to reach out to. So I guess, how do younger artists go about becoming one of those people that are going to be reached out to?
You just have to, it's how you sell yourself. Like, it's literally, because I do know people who were like, I'm a guitarist and I'm trying to get into a band, and it took a few years, but it was going there, meeting people, being pleasant, letting people know, like letting the biggest names, you know that, hey, like, I'm a guitarist for hire. If you ever need anything, or if you know of anyone that needs anything, let me know. And I remember people like that. Like, when people come to me and they're like, I am this musician, I want to do it full time, I'm looking for this gig, like, I have no greater joy than like connecting people with the gigs that make sense. And I've done it quite a few times, and it has brought me so much joy and happiness for both parties. So, you know, like, it's okay. Like, you really just, it's all in how you deliver it when you're networking and let people know that you're available and this is what you want to do, because like, even touring is grueling. So yeah, if you want to join a band, that's the way to go about it. But if you're a smaller name trying to establish yourself and you want to collaborate with bigger artists, like, you have to have the money there as an investment in your future, because you need to pay these names to raise your status on your releases. So that goes, that's, I hope that answers your questions in both ways. I'm like, I feel like this is like a double answer. Okay, good. Okay.
So now let's say, okay, so we've gone over quite a bit. So now, how do you kind of, if you wanted to pitch yourself to that you're available for collaboration, like you said, like, let's say that you don't want to work on your own stuff or whatever, you just want to do some for hire work or whatever. How would you do that other than what you've said? Because I mean, you said, you know, just make it known you're out there, but like, what do? You post on social, you cold email.
You may post. I think it's important to put out content on social media that displays your talents and what you're capable of. Because when I was pitching myself over 10 years ago to bigger bands, like saying like, hey, I do, sorry, you gotta love leg cramps. Okay, here we go.
Yes.
Sorry, I needed to like move around there for a second. What was I saying? Like, I was kind of like, you know, just writing people and reaching out and asking, but I feel now, because of social media, people can just come to my profile and know what I'm about and know what I have to offer. So I think that's important. I think it's just, you know, like, the most important thing you can do is the bands that you love, if they have a song or an album that's touched you, is just to reach out and message them and let them know how important your music was to them. And then if they follow you, cool. If they get in touch, cool. You know what I mean? Yeah, like there's so many ways of organically doing it, you know. But now I'm in my career, I just focus on making my own music and working with people that I want to work with. Sometimes there are going to be bigger names and they're going to be a big investment, and that's okay. And it's, I never really think about, like, maybe I do, maybe it's a little marketing brain, the little marketing voice in the back of my head, but I usually just want to work with people because I like them and I love what they contribute musically, and I'm happy to pay them for their time, you know. Curtis, you're always about numbers and like, oh my God, you got this share on social media. And I'm like, I don't care. Like, I don't care anymore.
Oh my God, so-and-so liked your post. I'm like, yeah.
That's why Curtis is there. That's why we have Curtis. You know what I mean? Like, Curtis does a great job, and you're supposed to care about that stuff. But I'm over here and I'm like, yeah, whatever. I'm waiting for this person to email me to produce their album. So whatever, you know, but I think it's that I'm very like organic, you know. And when you start doing things organically and you're not like worrying too much about, I guess, raising your resume anymore, that's when it's like, you know, the saying, what you resist persists. Like, now that I'm like, I don't care anymore. I think I've had the best 2 years of my life. So everyone just stop caring. No, terrible advice. But anyways, I hope that made sense.
Well, it made sense. Aaliyah, do we have any final questions we want to ask Lindsay before we wrap up?
I think that's about all we have time for. I mean, we could talk to you for hours.
Of course.
So
we'll, and this has been a lot of good information, a lot for people to digest.
Okay. So I want to ask one more question before we wrap up. So one more question. Okay. So Lindsay, do you have any final piece of advice for people that are looking to collaborate that you have not shared up until this point?
So if you want someone to join your music, by golly, have your shit together and be organized and communicate. Contact people well in advance so they have a good, because usually if it's someone who's like doing a full time, they need to like 3 months to somewhere fit it in their schedule or accommodate their schedule. Please, please, please be straightforward on how much involvement you want them in the track, especially if you want them to write or do vocal harmonies or anything like that. You have to like outline everything that you need from them. And, you know, then once they are interested, I don't know why people just can't like send the BPM and the key of the song, like why this is such a struggle bus, but just remember, like communicate everything you can. Like, I think you need to be extremely, you have to accommodate, this person, because you don't want them to have any guesswork or have to babysit you. Like you want it to be like a very professional, seamless production, even if you're just a small band. So I think it comes down to good communication, you know, but don't be afraid to reach out and ask. And, you know, especially if you can't seem to get a hold of the artist on social media, because it is a really big name, just always find, you can Google their management and just contact the management, you know, and then if you can go from there, because usually that's the manager's job and they're usually happy to hear from you. So yeah, like just, that's my best advice.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you so much for that information. It looks like I'm lagging. I don't know if my audio is.
You're good.
But until next time, everyone, make like a bull and throw those horns up.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please help spread the word by leaving us a 5-star review on your platform of choice. You can also join the conversation by following us on any social media and suggesting guests or topics you'd like to learn more about. Thanks for listening to C Squared.